Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soul Seekers podcast, where we believe that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure as we share our mission of mentorship is conservation. To learn more about everything we do, check out our show on Carbon TV or go to soulseekersnation.com. Freedom on, everybody, and stay soulful. This podcast is proud to be brought to you by the Crazy Elk Company. Go to crazyelkcompany.com to pick up yourself a tag wallet, custom kill kit, or one of their e-tag systems to throw in your pack this coming hunting season. Use the code SOULFUL with a capital S to save 20% at checkout. This podcast is also proudly brought to you by OnX Hunt. When I first got into hunting, I kept hearing all about public land and different access and how to find different locations to hunt. I was like, well, how are people even identifying all this stuff? Well, sure enough, I came across the number one hunting GPS app, and that is OnX Hunt. If you guys want to get better at hunting and go deeper into your scouting, OnX Hunt is the number one GPS app for that. Join the millions of hunters who trust OnX Hunt to find more game, discover new access, and hunt smarter. It was a game changer for me, and I know it's going to be a game changer for you if you've never used it. If you have used it, you know the power that it holds. Guys, I really hope you enjoy this episode. If you want to know more about OnX, go to onxmaps.com/hunt and check out their app. Be blessed, freedom on, and stay soulful. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Soul Seekers Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack, and today I am joined by a fellow just badass hunter, an amazing individual, a father, a husband, and a warrior. My man, Dylan from OnX is here. He's going to be talking all about his savage, like, killing spree that he went on this fall, where he filled almost every single tag, I believe. And we're going to talk all about his successes and how that went. And then along with that, we're going to be diving into OnX Hunt and their app and everything that comes along when you sign up and become a member, which, huge proponent of OnX. They are a sponsor of this podcast and everything that we do at Soul Seekers, and just really, really love supporting them as they have supported us. So without further ado, Dylan, what's up, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. That was quite the intro. You're making me sound a lot cooler than what I actually am, but I appreciate it. You're a good hype man.
Dude, you know, that's the DJ in me, right? Like, you got to work that crowd. You got to get build that energy. Like, that tsunami's coming and it's time to ride that wave. Yeah, man. I'm a hype man. Here's a little, I'm going to give a little story. This, I don't know if I've ever shared this on the podcast before, but I figured, you know, why not? In my first couple years of school teaching, I was like 23, 24 years old. I was coaching, I was DJing, I was doing a lot of different stuff. Well, my principal at the time, at the end of the year school assembly with parents that were there, like awards assembly, she asked all the teachers what they wanted to be when they grew up. Like, it was a play on, you know, the whole, what do you want to do when you grow up? So everyone's like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. And I told her I wanted to be a professional party starter. And she's from New York and has a heavy New York accent. And apparently I stepped out of the gymnasium during that time because I had to go get the dance ready because I was DJing the after party dance. And everyone came up and I had parents come up to me and they're like, so you want to be a professional porn star? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, so my principal made it sound like I wanted to be a porn star in front of like the entire middle school and their parents. And
incredible parties. I could see where that would, yeah. That's not great information to misconstrue, but such is life.
Such is life. I mean, hey, cool. Anyways, yeah, so that party started. I wanted to be a professional party starter, and here I am approaching closer to 40 than anything else, and then you say that, and I'm like, okay, then I'm living out the creed of, like,
made it.
Yes, I made it to where I wanted to be. Brother, you absolutely slayed it this year. Slayed it. Are you just that good of a hunter, or are you just like...
Man, it was a good year. It everything seemed to fall in place. There were some changes. So I was born and raised in Montana, still live here. I've done some out of state hunts. I did one this year. I know we'll touch on, but there's just a lot of opportunity in Montana. This year, there's some major changes, though, for me. So Montana, growing up and how it's always historically been, you can apply for a permit to hunt a special unit or conglomerate of units for elk, say, for example. But then you can still also historically hunt general, which is the rest of the state, essentially. This year, they changed it up. So if you drew a permit in Montana, you could only hunt there. So what I would typically do and what I did this year that are really honestly easy to get as a resident, it's like 90 to 100%, I would say, for some of these units. So they're a little bit better, but, you know, it's nothing like crazy different. But again, historically, what I'd do is I'd get one of those permits and then still hunt general closer to home, you know, do the whole weekend warrior thing. And then if I hadn't filled a tag, go to my permit unit for a week or week and a half, whatever it took. So this year it changed. And so I drew that permit and I could only hunt elk in that specific game management unit.
What unit?
Which is
just like kidding.
8 hours. Yeah. You probably saw that look on my face.
Right.
But, you know, it's quite a drive from my home, though. So you can't really do the whole weekend warrior. It's opening weekend, so I'm going to get out for 3 days type deal. So I went into this elk season, honestly, a little bit nervous because I knew my hunt days, quote unquote, were going to get cut down from, I don't know, you add up the weekends and stuff, like 15, 20 days to maybe 6 or 7. So I was a little bit nervous, but it all worked out. And I actually ended up shooting my bull on the first morning of being over there. Everything just, you know, it was one of those mornings that everything worked so perfectly. And after it all happened, you're like, how did this not happen? How did that cow not win me? How did that, like, everything just worked perfectly. And then actually after that, it was pretty tough. I stayed over there. And for the next like 4 days, we couldn't really turn up any elk. So I was very, very happy that I capitalized on that first morning of being over there after seeing the next 4 or 5 days.
Well, it just goes to show, man, don't pass up on a legal animal. But for all of you listeners who are like, well, how big was this bull that he shot? That was 7x6? Is that what it ended up
yeah,
being?
He was 6x7. Yep. Yeah. He was a super nice bull. Honestly, I didn't even really know. I knew he was like a definite shooter, and I'm not picky by any means. Like, I've passed up a couple of bulls in my lifetime with a bow. And I honestly, being the first morning, if he was like a really small bull, like a really small raghorn or something, being the first morning there, I probably wouldn't have shot him, but who knows? He could have stepped out and I, you know, would have got really excited and shot him. But long story short, I didn't know exactly what caliber of bull he was, but I knew he was one that I definitely wanted to shoot, even if it was the first day of the hunt over there. And yeah, he grew as I walked up on him, that's for sure.
Did he end up being bigger than your Colorado bull?
No, so that other one you're thinking of was Montana as well. But that bull was a little bit bigger. This one was like, you know, high 320s. He was like 327, 328, somewhere in there. The other one was like 10 inches bigger or something like that. They're pretty similar bulls.
Dude, absolutely incredible. Tell us a little bit. Were you staying in a hotel? Were you camping? Were you sleeping in your truck? And then were you all right, I'm waking up in the morning and we're going to hit this hillside? Or how'd that all play out?
Yeah. So this one here, it's actually kind of a unique deal. I hunt this spot with my dad and my uncle every year. My cousin tagged along this year as well. We actually pay a small trespass fee to be able to go through private into some public that we can. Excuse me, sorry about that. Phone was going off. So we pay a small trespass fee to be able to access through private. It's like on a week to week basis. It's all public that you can absolutely get to it. We've hunted it from the other side as well. It's just like a 3-4 mile hike up into, versus this way we can just kind of go through and hunt it from the other side. So this one's kind of a unique situation that we go, you know, the same week every year, or I guess last 3 years, I should say. And so we actually, just stay on that property in an old, super old cabin. So it's kind of a cool little bit more, I won't say laid back, because it's, you know, it's still physical as far as the hunting goes, but like we're staying in a cool old cabin instead of roughing it on the ground for a week and stuff. So it's kind of a unique one for us, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
I love it. It has that traditional like deer camp vibe, right? Where
you pull up in the evening and you hope that the other pickup's not there, because if it is, that means they're not packing out a bowl type thing. So yeah, no, it really does have that kind of vibe to it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. So you went about smashing on your elk in September. Then it seems like it's in the blood with you, and your wife is a slayer also. How many different hunts, kills were you a part of this year? You shot your bull. You had your spring bear. Did you shoot a fall bear?
I did not shoot a fall bear. I shot a spring bear in Idaho, and I was with... I was part of two other bear kills in Idaho, one in Montana. Shot a handful of turkey. Well, I shot two turkeys, but was with some other folks in the spring. And then I'm trying to think. Oh, so my elk, and then opening day of rifle, I went out with a real good buddy, and he shot a really nice 6-point with me on opening morning. So that was another cool, kind of happened right away. You know, we didn't really know what to expect. It was foggy, but we were just going to go out, you know, give it our all. It was opening morning and ended up shooting a really nice 6-point. So that was really fun to be laying next to him on that one. And then deer season was just kind of a whirlwind. We went to Colorado. I went with Born and Raised Outdoors and some Huntingful folks to Colorado. And we all did very well down there. It was third season, first time hunting Colorado for myself and for a lot of the folks I was with. Didn't really know what to expect, and every day just got better and better. And that's what some folks with experience down there said, like, hey, be the last one with the tag, or, you know, just wait, because every day is going to get better and better. And so that hunt was super cool. It was really mountainous, high elevation. It was definitely more physically challenging than what I originally anticipated it being. I'm just more used to mule deer hunting like central eastern Montana, where yeah, like you can put on a lot of miles and hike up and down coulees and stuff, but you're not making a 1,000-foot pull. You're not really up in the mountains per se. So, it was challenging. It took us a few days to get acclimated and to figure out how to be successful in a completely new area. But once we figured it out and every day got a little better, we started filling tags like every day. So that was a super fun hunt.
Is that going to be a part of the Land of the Free series?
Yeah. Yep. So that'll be after, I don't know if it'll be quote unquote Land of the Free series, but it will be a series that Born and Raised will put on their YouTube. I'm not sure, but within the next month or two, probably, I think it'll be up.
Okay, sweet. I'm looking at your mule deer right here, and I am just like, it had all the junk in the trunk that you would ever want from a buck. Did that inside spread hit 28?
So outside, he was like 29 and a half with the kicker. Inside beam was like 25.
Okay.
For like the beam, you know, like what you get credit for.
Dude, for the longest time getting into hunting, you're like, oh, dude, I don't even understand the whole measurement thing. And as you start, you know, being around different animals, you get an idea of like what the inches mean. That is almost a once in a lifetime buck that you shot, man.
Yeah, he was super cool. He's my best buck. And honestly, it was on day 7, last day of the hunt. We were headed back to the wall tent to go tear it down and hit the road. We had like a 24 hour drive, long ways to get back home. And I needed to get back to eastern Montana for my mule deer hunt the next week. So I just completely accepted the fact that I was going to be the only one in camp essentially that didn't fill their tag. And honestly, I was completely fine with it. Like my cup was very full, being with those guys in just the week, you know, spent in a wall tent, hunting some incredible country, you know, being a part of a few other bucks getting shot. Like it was so cool. And I was completely content. Like, of course I'd be lying if I didn't say like, yeah, that's the goal is to go down there and fill a tag. Right. But, I was content, like I was good, and we were on our way back to camp, and that's when we spotted this buck. So yeah, to go from like, yeah, Colorado is awesome, but I didn't fill a tag and that's okay, to that's the best deer I've ever shot in seconds was pretty crazy.
With you've been in the hunting game for quite some time. You've hunted, you have a lot of experience. What type of mindset do you have before a hunt? Are you like, all right, dude, I can't wait. I'm going to be feeling a tag, or I'm going to be seeing lots of animals, or what type do you like not psych yourself up or manifest anything?
I think for me, it's definitely evolved and changed. And then I also think each hunt is different. So for like elk, typically if I'm archery hunting elk, it's, I want to get and fill the freezer. I don't really care if it's a 300-inch bull or a 240 bull. Like, I don't, you know, that's not really the goal. For mule deer, you know, I've grown up hunting mule deer and I've shot a lot of deer, and I'm not really as interested in just like finding a buck and putting my tag on him. I'm more interested in like finding the buck that gets me excited. Now, I don't care if that's a 6-7 year old 25-inch heavy 2x2. Like, I don't like care about inches, just a mature deer that gets me excited. So I think for me, for deer, it's a little bit different, where I just, going into a hunt, I wouldn't say I psych myself up, but what I do tell myself is like, I'm going to hunt as hard as possibly can for the duration of the hunt. And if I find the buck that I want to kill, awesome. And if I don't, like, that's okay. As long as I hunted hard. I've been upset with myself on a couple hunts because you leave, you don't fill a tag. And it's not because I didn't fill a tag, but it's because like, yeah, there was a couple days I could have hunted harder, or the weather was super cold and I quit early, or this or that. But as long as I'm personally hunting hard and like putting forth the effort that I think is like max, like if I don't kill one, that's completely fine.
Yeah. Dude, that's awesome. Okay, I want to ask a question regarding Onyx and your Colorado trip. So you said that you've never been to this location, right? You're hunting with Hunt and Fool, you're hunting with Born and Raised Outdoors. How much e-scouting did you do prior to this, and who picked the spot? Right? Or was it like, hey, do you think like this is a good draw? Or because you were saying it was new terrain and all that. Can you explain that?
Totally. So we relied a lot on Hunt and Fool and their expertise. One of the individuals there has hunted that unit before, so we had some firsthand knowledge going into it. Now we e-scouted once we figured out where we were going to go. And I know we'll dive into this later, but using Top Rut draw odds, you know, we figured out, okay, I have 2 points, so-and-so has three, we want to draw for sure this year. It wasn't like, yeah, let's put in for unit if we draw a sweet. Like, we wanted to hunt Colorado, so we put in for a lesser quote-unquote unit. So we knew we should draw it. But once we figured out the units we were hunting, we all kind of spent some time e-scouting. And that's what I always recommend people doing, is like, you and I can jump on a Zoom call and e-scout together, and that might be beneficial. But if you e-scout and then I e-scout and then we come together and look at each other's stuff, and it's like, hey man, this is where my head was when I marked this drainage and this glassing point. We might have the same stuff, just confirming that we both like it, or we might be thinking completely different of each other. So we all kind of separately e-scouted. And I wouldn't say like, you know, it's not like we spent hours and hours and hours e-scouting, but from the time we drew the tag to the time we went, like, I definitely spent, you know, 3-4 hours looking at maps and probably more than that, honestly, with the whole like, oh, I just got out of a meeting and I have 20 minutes until another phone call I got to take. Like, I'm just going to hop on and scroll around and familiarize myself with the unit and drop a waypoint on glassing points and parking locations and so on and so forth. So it was probably more than that, honestly, but it wasn't like, you know, I took an entire day and just focused on e-scouting.
Gotcha. Okay. Were you scouting an entire unit, a game management unit, or were you guys already narrowed down into an area and then more or less looking at hillsides and terrain? So
we can actually hunt several units. Some, you know, same as in Montana, if you draw one tag, sometimes you can hunt the adjacent units or whatever. So there was a lot of potential. For me, we had a few starting points. But what I mostly looked for was areas to like cross off the map almost. Like, it was really mountainous. There was a lot of really timbered areas, like, you know, it might be conducive to going and calling a fired up bull in September in. But for rifle hunting mule deer, if I go hike into a, you know, an area that's super timbered, like, it's just not, it's not going to be playing to our strengths. Like, yeah, you might go find a giant buck in there and shoot him in the timber, but you're going to be walking around trying to see through little, you know, pin gaps of trees and stuff. And so I did, before really honing in on where we wanted to go, is like, okay, where do we not want to go? And then of course you get there, everything looks different. And within a day or two of driving around and kind of quote unquote scouting the unit, but hunting, you learn pretty quick, like, what's possible and what's not.
Interesting. Do you find yourself, when you're comparing e-scouting with another person, that they do that strategy as well? I haven't really thought about that before. Like, where do I not want to go versus where do I want to go?
Yeah, I get, maybe I haven't heard that, but in my mind, that's just kind of what makes sense. Cause you look at this unit again, for example, there might be 70% of it that I don't want to go because you're going to be kind of wasting your time. So let's find the areas that you don't want to go, cross that off, or at least in your mind, make a mental note of, okay, if this area is not burnt and it's this timbered, I'm going to be, it's not going to be conducive to what, how I want to hunt these deer. You know, I want to sit, I want to hike up to a glassing point and sit all day and be, you know, combing over country with my optics and stuff, instead of just blindlessly hiking through timber, hoping that it opens up enough to possibly see a buck.
Right. There's a difference between hunting smart and hunting hard. And we want to hunt smart and hard, but we don't want to just hunt hard and wear ourselves out where you feel like you're just absolutely beat. And then you just don't see that many animals also, right? Still hunting is great when you can localize a central area. But when you're looking at it, miles and miles of terrain, it's like, okay, well, where do we go?
Yep. So, yeah, definitely.
A little overwhelming. So, okay, let's get back on this train of all these animals that you killed. So you killed a monster mule deer. You ended up shooting just a stud whitetail. Is that that's a whitetail, correct?
Yeah, my wife shot a mule deer. And then actually, that was the last day. It was the second to last day of season in Montana, but the last day for me hunting before we traveled back home. So, yeah, it was the year of last day bucks for me for sure. But, yeah, so we shot my buck in Colorado, and literally I broke that buck down as they were taking down the wall tent, and then we hit the road to Montana. As soon as I got to Montana, I repacked my stuff, grabbed the wife and kid, loaded up the vehicle, threw the dog in, and then we drove another 8 hours eastern to eastern Montana to hunt over there for the last week. We go the last week every year. That way we can see friends and family for Thanksgiving, get some hunting in, and so on and so forth. So it was, yeah, I drove straight from Colorado to western Montana, and then the next day I drove. So I don't know how many miles it was, but it was the most driving I've ever done in my entire life in like 48 hours.
Dude, and you got a little one. So was grandma and grandpa watching the little one, or were you guys taking them with you?
No, we were going to take him this year, but grandma and grandpa's ended up watching him the most of the time. You know, we drove around a few times and looked for deer type of stuff, but I think next year, so he's 1.5. Next year, I think it's going to be a little bit easier to get him out. I'm really looking forward to it. And then next year we will also have, you know, a 6-month-old at the time of rifle season. So we're going to have our hands full.
Congratulations, bro. The Osprey backpacks. Osprey makes a little kid carrier packs. Dude, yeah. The absolute game changer. Any father who has young children, highly recommend those. I used to do so much scouting and hiking and all sorts of stuff with them, just like right in the pack. Do you have one of those?
Yeah. Well, I actually do have one of those. I haven't used it a whole lot, but I do have one. I'm excited to use it. How big can they be, though, and ride on that thing is my question.
Oh, how much do you want to carry? I mean, your kids end up, you know what I mean? Like, so ultimately, I think the last year that I started pulling my kids out, my oldest stayed in there longer because he didn't have older brothers to stare at that were also walking. So he rode in there through like, you know, 3.5, 4, depending on, like, I'd wear the backpack. Sometimes I'd take him out, let him walk, then put him in and do that. Yep. My youngest, he actually got out of it at like 2.5 because his older brothers were always on the ground on the move and he wanted to be down there with him. So, but it's a good investment, especially if you're having multiple kids. And congratulations, by the way. That's
thank you.
Nothing like another red-blooded American to add to the mix.
Yep. We're excited. And so yeah, we'll have two boys running around about 2 years apart. So hopefully in about, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, 15 years, they can pack my elk out and then I can start packing their elk out.
Yes. Yes. I had the opportunity this year. I shared this on a different episode of the podcast, but I took my oldest boy out and he shot his very first deer, very first like animal. Super awesome. But the moment that we got to eat his deer for dinner and all of us ate it, dude, talk about an absolute game changer as far as like a mindset of like, wow, I'm not just the provider for my family. My boy did this. And words don't really even describe how special that was. And I can't wait for you to have that opportunity as well, because it's something else.
That's super cool. I can't wait. Actually, obviously he didn't harvest it, but the other night we were at the dinner table eating elk burger and spaghetti or something like that. And I pointed up to the wall, to the bowl that he was eating up on the wall. And I'm like, yeah, that's the bowl you're eating, buddy. And he like looks at the bowl and just lets out a perfect bugle. So we're hoping it's in his blood.
Yes. I love it. Yeah. My middle kid, he loves to hit those high notes. He'll grab my bugle tube and just like, dang, yeah. Bro, get it. All right, Dylan, let's shift gears here for a second. Onyx has been on the move, man. You guys, the hunting world, either you got to evolve or you're going to get left behind. And Onyx, being a leader in the hunting industry, has always pushed the limits, and people have always copied you guys with what you've been doing. They say? Imitation is the... What? No.
Best form of flattery.
Best form of flattery. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. So, I mean, the fact that you're starting, Onyx is starting to get, quote unquote, a lot more competition now within the mapping space and all that, is cool for you guys, because it's honoring that you guys are pushing the limits. At the same time, it's a business, and you always want to make sure you're getting more customers. So Onyx is making some moves, and I know over the last calendar year, you guys started to partner up with different organizations such as Hunting Fool and Top Rut. However, I know I've gone on Top Rut before in the past, and just different things like it's not one of the first things I think of when I'm scouting or looking for tags and all that. What is Onyx doing that goes along with that elite membership and all the benefits that are coming along with it? And what do we get to look for in the future?
Yeah, definitely. And so, you know, the elite membership as a whole, it used to be, okay, we have two options. You have a premium membership. If you only hunt a single state, if you never hunt out of state, if you're not looking to acquire tags out of state, here's your premium. If you hunt more than one state, here's your elite. You got all 50 states. As you said, though, with the elite membership now, we are continuing to provide more and more value to that. So, for example, that Hunt and Fool membership that you mentioned, as an Onyx Hunt elite member, you get all 50 states, but then you get really cool exclusive discounts and free services like the Hunt and Fool digital membership. So you just get that with the elite membership. We partnered with Top Rut a couple years ago to provide draw odds, a free membership to draw odds to all elite customers. And we actually acquired Top Rut not too long ago. So we now just brought everything in house. brought everything in house. It's now Top Rut draw odds, you know, by Onyx Hunt. So just streamlining that system. We've got some pretty cool plans in the works for, you know, rebuilding and adding to that system as far as draws go. But we at Onyx, we've realized like tags are getting harder and harder to get every year. You can see it within your home state, within, you know, a lot of different states, you name it. They're not getting easier. No tags are ever getting easier to get. So as a part of that, we want our customers to be able to obtain the tags and to go hunt and go experience the, you know, the things that we love to do out in the hunting woods. And a huge part of that is now, and has been honestly, odds. Like, what are my odds of hunting Colorado next year? What are my odds of hunting moose, sheep, or goat if I continue to apply for the hardest to draw tags versus the easiest? So on and so forth. So, you know, in doing so, we worked with Top Rut for a couple of years. We found it to really benefit our customers. Mm-hmm. So we move forward with, you know, acquiring them. But that's two examples of the elite benefits. There's so many more. You know, from discounted gear, Vortex Optics. If you're an elite member, you've got discounts on Vortex Optics, on, you know, Exo Pack, Shanae's boots, you name it. Like, there's so much on there that people honestly aren't taking advantage of. As an elite member, you just get that value added for free.
It's so cool to hear that. And I think that's one of the things that needs to make sure it gets pushed out a whole lot more is I have been members of different groups online, more or less like a Costco, but for hunters and outdoors. There's one called Leo Adventures. So being a public employee, I was a member of Leo Adventures, cost $35 a year. And that's how I ended up getting a lot of my camo at the beginning, because I was like, oh, I can get Sitka at a discounted price back when I was wearing Sitka. And I was like, oh, perfect. The issue is not many people know about it. You have to promote it and talk about it. And so when you guys are saying, you know, we have a whole lot of stuff that can benefit you, it's all sorts of stuff, whether it's camo, optics. I'm going to go down the list right now. Let's see here. Go to more, go to onxmaps.com, click on hunt, and then what is it, merch shop or is it master classes? What are we going to?
So elite member benefits. So if you Google Onyx Hunt elite benefits, should land on the page. There's a couple different ways to get there, but honestly, this is the easiest route is to Google Onyx Hunt elite benefits, and then you can pull it up. So, I mean, obviously, we're geared a little bit more toward Western big game, uh-huh. But we have so much for upland, for whitetail, for waterfowl, and so on and so forth. Did you find that page there?
I sure did. Yep. Perfect. Then log in. Bam. There we go. Access elite benefit. Yes, sir. I will access that. Yeah, I love it. So we got, what is it? I'm looking at all the different stores right now. So you got First Light, FHF, Phelps, Game Call. You have a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Lacrosse, Bushnell Trail Cams, RCBS, Reloading, Silencer Central, Suppressors, Meat for your after, you know, grinders and stuff like that, Hunt Reminder, Peak Refuel Meals. Yeah, there's a ton of stuff. And I know they're very underutilized. So if you do have that elite membership and you're listening, check it out. Like, you get free access to a lot of cool stuff, including the draw odds now, obviously, with Top Rut. But yeah, just a ton of discounts. And really, you can, if you use that effectively and you buy, if you're like me and you buy new gear almost every year, even though you probably don't need it, you're going to pay for that elite membership in and of itself with the discounts that you're going to save. Mm. So it's a no-brainer.
All right, so I'm on Top Rut. I went through Onyx and typed in Top Rut and all that stuff, and it takes you to a new login page. I'm actually having issues with this. I'm an elite member. Mm-hmm. However, it is saying my elite membership has expired. Renew with Onyx today. Is this, do you guys ever come across a lot of these issues, or do you get, I know your customer service is pretty phenomenal as far as.
Yeah, no, they're awesome. Honestly, no. What it might be is the fact that I give you that elite membership. Like, mm-hmm. There might be a disconnect there. So I can definitely help you out with that, or make sure that you're logging in with the same, you know, with the one that I've given you, and so on and so forth. But yeah, typically there's not an issue. You know, for the average customer, like if you just log in with the same email and password as you do your Onyx membership, that's how you get access to that Top Rut.
Sweet. Sweet. All right. So let's talk about Top Rut. You know, and shoot, I feel like, do we mention other companies' names or just kind of keep it to ourselves? No, let's keep it to ourselves.
Yeah, we honestly, I mean, we competition is more and more. We at OnX, like, we do pay attention to competition. Competition is great because it pushes us to be better, and ultimately it makes the customer wins because we're pushed to be more innovative and quicker and everything as well. So, but as far as, like, you know, we really just try and focus on what we do to the best of our abilities and don't get caught up too much in, you know, such and such is doing this and so did that. Like, mm-hmm. we just want to provide the best product that we can to our customers. And that's kind of our mentality with competition.
I love it. Stay in your lane, right? Master your craft and then don't worry about it. Okay. When it comes to top rut, dive into this for us. Explain the draw odds and how you find. I have 3 points with antelope and mule deer in Wyoming, and at some point I'm going to be going up there. Some people I've heard from people say, "Oh, you don't need to stack up a bunch of points to go there to hunt." Other people say, "Oh, you're going to need, you know, quite a few points before that." So I'm going to be relying on top rut here in the next year or so to dive into that. So can you explain how to go about using top rut?
Yeah. So top rut, you know, we are going to be not rebuilding, but streamlining a few things on it. So it will look different within the next year, but essentially you can go on there and pick what state. So you would just select Wyoming, you would select resident or non-resident. And if you're looking at, say, an archery permit, you know, then you can select. There's just a lot of filters that get you to what you want, where you want to be. And then you would put in 3 points for how many points you have. And then you can filter the units by the unit numbers, by percentage of public land. You know, there's quite a few different ways to filter what you're looking for there. So, you know, it'll spit it out in a table format of, okay, here's your odds for all these units for what you have selected. But then you can filter by, okay, I want to show the hardest to draw tags to the least and sort it by that and so on and so forth. So, there's so much that goes into draw odds, man. Like, every state is so different. What's the difference between a preference point and a bonus point in this state? Like, there's so many nuanced differences that it can get really complex. And top rut's one of those tools that can help simplify and actually get you the info that you need.
I love that. You know, I've always been intrigued by this concept. When there are things like top rut that are helping you to identify where the animals are at, where the high quality animals are at, draw odds, all this stuff. Do you think, and this is just an opinion question, I don't expect any scientific answer. Do you think eventually it'll shift? Like, certain units end up getting so backed up on draw odds because of these different applications that'll actually allow the animals to sprout up in different units and be more successful?
I don't think that's too far out of the question. And I think it's a little bit less like tools like top rut, where it just shows you statistically where you're able to draw. And it's a little more like, you know, you've got a TV show. If you go hunt Colorado and blast the unit that you hunted and you guys absolutely crush it, and then, you know, X number of thousands of people watch that and they're interested in Colorado, like, why wouldn't they go hunt there? You right. know, like, you know the spot, they know it was wildly successful, and these are all hypotheticals, obviously, but you know, with that type of information, I think people are more likely to blow up certain units and conglomerate there than like a, hey, here's statistically what your odds are for how many points you have. But yeah, it's definitely likely.
Being someone who's a hunter and a lifetime hunter versus working at a technology company that is constantly pushing the limits to support people on making hunting, I wouldn't say easier. I don't think that's the correct term. Like, more successful. Allow people to overcome barriers to entry or barriers to success a whole lot more. Do you ever find yourself with like a moral struggle of like, oh man, you know, because the whole idea of blowing spots up, right?
Yeah, no, I totally understand the question, and it's a good question. I don't, because I know how we are going about things. Like, the thing with OnX is, and we've been asked this question a few times, you know, or we've heard the whole like, hey, I used to have a couple really good honey holes. Now with OnX showing the easement layer to get into it is, you know, blown up with people and it's not a honey hole anymore. But then that same person is also found another five spots because of OnX. So like, you know, it's, I get the question for sure, but I morally do not ever have a dilemma because of how we're going about it. We're not like highlighting certain units and saying like, here's where you're going to be most successful shooting a 180 buck next year.
Yeah.
That type of thing. So I think there's an opportunity to go about it the right and wrong way. And yeah, no, currently there has not been any dilemmas, but I get the question.
I mean, it's just so funny. So in the state of Washington, we have a few different national forests. And each, when you're hiking on trails, so I was always a backpacker and I'd hike on trails and then you'd see a sign like, you know, Wild Sky Wilderness or this national forest, so Snoqualmie, you know, Mount Baker National Forest, and you, all these different things. And you're like, oh, okay, that's where I'm at. And so I went on a hunt. This is earlier in my career. And I took a picture of a wilderness sign or a national forest sign and I posted it on Instagram. And I got blown up for
somebody's phone.
They have these signs all over the place, right? It just happened to be the sign that was on the trail, and all it is just a sign. And people are like, man, thanks a lot for blowing up our spot. And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe everyone's just a little too sensitive.
No, I think they are, but I also get it. Like, I've recognized spots I've hunted in other people's YouTube channels or whatever. It's like, man, I literally just hunted that last week. Like, you know, and there's been times, like, I'm not going to lie, I have definitely pulled up OnX and thrown it in 3D and like looked at the video and then like positioned OnX to be like, yep, I know exactly where that's at. Like, it seems stupid, but it's also, you know, when it's spots that you've been to, I understand the animosity, but, I think people are a little bit too particular about it. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. We get called out at OnX. It's kind of, I won't say funny because it is people's spots, but we will randomly take screenshots of the map, like complete at random. Like, I will, you know, drop a few waypoints in Wyoming in a spot that I've never even stepped foot 1,000 miles from, you know, and just for marketing purposes. Like, we'll take a screenshot to show the map, and then we'll get somebody emails like, hey, thanks a lot for, you know, putting that screenshot on that ad because that's exactly where I hunt elk, and you put an elk waypoint there. And it's like, yeah, we got to show the map somehow. So,
no, so I've had that experience. Whether every now and then I like to take a screenshot, I make sure it's topo only, I don't do, you know, aerial imagery.
I know the great names and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, how do I show this without giving away numbers, you know, all sorts of stuff, but at least still make it educational, right? The whole purpose of Soul Seekers is to educate others and to, you know, get new hunters involved. But at the same time, they have to be able to understand how to find animals on a map, right? Like, why is a draw important? Where's, you know, a bench and all this stuff? And it's like, I posted one time on Instagram and somebody's like, hey, I got a message. You know, they didn't want to comment on the post. I sent a message. Yeah. Hey, is this my spot from such and such? And I'm like, nope, just a random spot that I just selected because I'm trying to find obscure stuff.
We do a lot of, you know, how to e-scout videos as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, both we do and our ambassadors do. And that's one thing we typically call out and we tell our ambassadors to call out is like, in the beginning of the video, just say, hey, this is a complete random spot. I've never hunted this. I never planned to. I'm doing it for like, you know, demonstration purposes only. Like, this isn't to blow up a unit or to pick a unit that is incredibly hard to draw. So like Montana, there's a couple mule deer units that are really, really hard to draw. You might mean never draw them. So if I'm going to show how to e-scout for mule deer in Montana, I might pick one of those units because odds are nobody's, you know, that's nobody's mule deer spot. And if it is, you know, it was a once in a lifetime tag, they probably don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right. Man, so wild. I love it. Technology is helpful in so many ways, and yet people are so sensitive. You know, like, ooh, get their feelings hurt. I understand when it comes to like a lifestyle of hunting. You know, people put so much energy and effort into this 1 week or however long it is that they get for that opportunity. And yet competition breeds success, right?
Yeah.
And I remember having a conversation, I think it was with Steve Speck and Mark Huelsing on the Exo Mountain Gear podcast a couple years ago. And they're like, well, you know, mentorship as conservation is great, but when I'm in the, I'm on a hunt and hillside's littered with orange, like that doesn't make me feel good as a hunter. And I was like, well, competition breeds success. Maybe, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's not a perfect world. Do you want hunting to last for generations to come, or do you want it just to be about you and the animal and you kill?
So, yeah, I think that's the debate, you know, not the debate, but that's another really tough question that I wouldn't be able to answer. It's like what's best? All you see is people and, you know, no animals. You're going to be like, man, I wish there wasn't as many people in the woods. But in order for hunting to carry on and, you know, to be around in the same form in the next, you know, 50, 100 years, whatever that looks like, we also have to get people activated in hunting and showing them and teaching them. And I know that's a huge part of what you do and why you do it. And I love it. And yeah, I can see both sides at least, you know, like I don't want to run into 12 other guys when I'm out helping me, but I also understand it. That's 12 other guys trying to do the same thing I'm doing.
Yep. Yep. It's, well, that's why they call it a sport, right? You are competing. You're not, sometimes you're competing against yourself, sometimes against the animal, sometimes against other hunters. It's wild. Hey, is there anything that we did not cover that you want to touch on as far as what's happening with Onyx in the future this coming year?
No, I think that covered a lot of it. I would just say again, like if you are not taking advantage of those elite perks that you have with that elite membership, definitely check them out. It, you know, even if you're not somebody who buys a lot of gear and you're not looking to save money because you're not spending it, just for the Hunt and Full digital membership and then the draw odds, Hunt Reminder is another free one. So you can go in there and say, okay, I'm interested in these species, these states, and then get a notification to your phone, an email saying, hey, Wyoming non-resident elk application is open. You can now apply. Hey, there's 1 week left. Hey, there's 24 hours left. Don't miss it. So there are some free deals as well for that elite membership. So yeah, check them out. They're underutilized. And I know everybody who dives into those is very happy.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. All right, here's a question for you. You're about to be a father of two coming up. I know you can't foresee the future. You don't know what it's like to have multiple kids now and all that. Well, how far in advance do you start planning for your hunts? And what is this coming year going to look like for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. So last year, this year was a great year. Last year, I was down on like hunt days in the field and stuff. I still got out and hunted, but was not a great year. Last year was first year in quite a while. I didn't shoot a bull. I just kind of felt like, I won't say my head wasn't in it, but you know, it was the first year of being a father and I was trying to balance that whole, like, how much time should I spend away? My wife, you know, was and currently is working full-time as well. So not only is she taking care of, you know, of my, our son while I'm gone on hunts, but she's working full-time and just super busy. And so it was a kind of a balancing act that I was trying to figure out. This year, I got out quite a bit more. Next year's kind of back to the drawing boards of two. Now she is going to be at home with our kids at that time. So I think that will help a little bit as far as me being able to go on hunts and not feel quite as guilty. But yeah, I'm starting to plan now. It's like, I plan on doing one out-of-state hunt next year. I don't know whether it's Wyoming elk or I don't know what it is, but that's my goal, is to try and do like one out-of-state hunt a year and not overdo it. Because if I do multiple out-of-state hunts plus all my Montana stuff, it just gets too much. And that doesn't count like if I go to Idaho and shoot a bear or something like that. I don't really consider that a quote-unquote out-of-state hunt, more like deer, elk, antelope in the fall.
Something that takes like 7 to 10 days of your time.
Yep, exactly.
For sure. How soon, and obviously this was a part of that question, but it would play off of if you didn't have the kids or if it was standard in the past, how soon do you start planning your hunts?
I think that doesn't change regardless. Like I'm starting to plan now. You know, for example, if I do, I've got some Wyoming points for deer, elk, and antelope. I kind of want to do Wyoming elk. That's kind of where my mind's at right now. And that's coming up, you know, quick for non-resident for Wyoming elk. So I need to figure that out before anything else. Like I'm not really planning logistics and details, but it's like, okay, do I want to do Wyoming elk next year? Yes. Okay. I need to apply for that. Am I going to apply where I think for sure I'll get a tag and just plan on kind of like Colorado last year, where like we want to hunt Colorado, or am I going to apply for something that I won't know for several months? So I don't have anything really set in stone minus the Montana stuff that I do every year. But I would say like right now in the next like month or two, I'm definitely planning what my upcoming season is going to look like.
Yeah. I get it. The draw odds, once you can start getting into drawing tags out of state, it really changes the game. You know, back when I was like, oh, I'm only hunting Washington because I want to learn how to hunt in my home state before I like really branch out. And then, you know, you're like, okay, well, if I draw a special tag, it's only going to be during the season. Like, but now when I'm talking and I'm looking at my board for season 4 Soul Seekers and it's talking Idaho spring bear, Utah archery elk, you know, Washington fall bear, you know, different hunts. It's like, it takes a lot of coordinating and a lot of effort and energy, and shout out to my wife and because she also works full time. It's like, how do we navigate all of this in order for me to fulfill my soul and my desires and my wants, and then also to make sure we're taking care of our children and working around my wife's schedule and that she gets time off as well. So your wife hunts. So does she, like, she have a drive to hunt, or is it more something that she does, or does she like to actually take time off to go hunting?
Yeah, I mean, she definitely hunts. She's like, she hunts with me every year for deer. She enjoys going, but she's not taking, you know, a week off to go on a hunt of her own or anything like that. Like, you know, if I hunt 20 days a year for deer, she's getting out 5 with me. So it's kind of a good balance. Like it fills her cup, and you know, it works for both of us. Let's just put it that way.
Dude, uncharted territories, bro. You're about to get into it. I'm going to have to, Dylan, you're going to have to come down here and hang out with me in Texas. I just picked up. So one of the cool things about Texas, and you can do this in a lot of other states. We actually, in season 1 of Soul Seekers, did a thermal predator hunting episode. I just picked up my very first thermal optic, and I was like, oh, let's go out in the backyard last night and, you know, take a look around. I saw a bunch of jackrabbits out in the field. I actually even saw a fox about 100 yards away from my back porch. I was like, oh, excellent. We're gonna have to get you down to Texas and do a little thermal hunting, go smash on some hogs and well, all the nightlife. That's the fun nightlife, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that would be cool. Count me in.
Yes, we'll put that on the books. All right, Dylan, you're a stud. Thank you, brother, for being on this podcast. Thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for supporting Soul Seekers and everything that we do. Guys, go check out Dylan's Instagram. You can see the monster animals he's been killing and his family lays down at dylan.hunter.dowson. And I'll have a link to his account in the show notes. Also, if you're not a member of Onyx, go sign up. You can get Dylan, is it 2 weeks to a 14-day trial?
So 7-day, 1-week trial. And then, yeah, we got the premium membership, $30 a year, elite membership, $100 a year. And that comes with all the elite benefits that we talked about.
Yes, totally worth it. You are never going to be like, oh man, I wish I wouldn't have spent this money, because I know a lot of like real estate agents that use this. I know a guy who we mentored on one of his first hunts, he sold windows and doors, and he ended up using Onyx as information before he would approach landowners and be like, hey, would you like to buy some of this stuff? You know, so many different things. truly, truly phenomenal product. I really support it and believe in it. So, guys, thank you so much for tuning in this episode. I hope you had a Merry Christmas, as this is going to be coming out the day after on the 26th. And then we're going to be bumping into 2023 the next time you hear this podcast, which is absolutely incredible. We have to break it in with a Happy New Year's and all of that. I'm Johnny Mack. Be blessed. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Don't forget to go check out our show on Carbon TV at Soul Seekers with season one and season two. Season three is going to be coming out in 2023 and a whole lot more content for all of you guys. Be blessed, freedom on, and stay soulful. If you enjoyed today's podcast and want to support the show, you can always like, share, subscribe, and leave a rating, as it helps us share our mission of mentorship is conservation. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of Soul Seekers Nation as we transform lives through primal adventure. If you want to get more connected with the podcast, check out the Soul Seekers Nation Facebook group, as I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. So stay tuned and stay soulful.